That's for sure.
All right. Well, let's pray right now and ask God to put us on that straight and narrow and to keep us there. Amen. Father, we lift up Pastor John right now. We pray, Lord, that the words that he had, Lord, would correct our walk. Lord, that would... Now, Lord, we don't ask for an easy walk, but we ask for a walk that our eyes are steadfast upon you no matter what we encounter. Give us the strength, whatever we encounter. Lord, give us the joy to walk through it. And Lord, may to you be ascribed all glory and praise. Father, bless this word this morning, and we ask you in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as you know, over this past year, we were talking about John 11:40, which says, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And we looked at the importance of looking, seeing, and then believing, and seeing God's glory revealed for us. You know, so we could see it, so we could see what God was doing in the earth. And now God is calling us to take it to the next level, and to not just, you know, find out about it, believe, and then see it happening, but actually to begin to take it from there and begin to share it all over, to take it out into the world. As we just sang here, that we can change the world, and the way we change the world is by proclaiming the glories of God, proclaiming who God is, His majesty, His power. Psalm 96, verse 3 says, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That's who we are, God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We were created. We were created for God's glory. It tells us right in Isaiah 43, verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and all that is made, that is visible and invisible, everything, in all His wisdom, decided to create us. Isn't that something? And just like the stars and the heavens and the oceans and the mountains, and it says, you know, they declare the glory of God. It says the trees will clap their hands, the rocks will cry out if we don't. You see, our job, just like their job, when we look at the beauty of nature, we walk in the forest, we see the oceans, we see the stars, we acknowledge the beauty, the glory, the majesty of God. And now God wants that to shine in us. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for what? The glory of God. So our ultimate goal then should be that our whole life, everything we do, everything we say, everything we are, our whole life should in some way proclaim God's glory. Wow, that's a pretty tall order, you know, for us to be able to do that. The Apostle Paul, he saw how large of a request, how large of a command that was. He understood the importance of it. He knew that was our goal, that was our aim. But he knew that he himself was falling short. He said in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. He knew he wasn't. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I know I'm not there yet, and I'm sure every one of us knows that we have a way to go before our life is just a pure proclamation of the glory of God. anybody there? Because if you're there, man, I want to follow you. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. See, we can follow other people to a degree, but ultimately we follow Christ. Not only do we know, but God knows too. He knows that, you know, we're not there. He understands us because, remember, God created us. He knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what we're made of because he literally made us. We are his creation. And he knows that this becoming more and more like Christ and proclaiming his glory is a process. It doesn't happen just because we got saved. We said some magic words and bam, we're instantly transformed. I mean, there is a transformation when we get saved. No doubt about that. There's a huge transformation, but we're not made from, you know, a normal, bad, before God human being to one that is now perfection. We're not the perfection of beauty. Jesus is. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed. See, this is a process. We're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. See, that's how it's supposed to be. This is the way God has planned it. This is the way he is putting his part in there. He's working and doing his job, his part, to help us get there. We're being transformed with ever-increasing glory. That's the way it's supposed to be going, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one helping us do this. So, again, obviously, it's telling us right there, this is a process. It's a process. It's called, it's called growing in the Lord. It's called, you know, it's changing. It's becoming more and more like him. So what I've described is just an awesome part, an amazing part of God's plans for our life. To take us from that person when he rescued us, a life of hopelessness, darkness, no purpose, no joy. I mean, you know, the life before Christ, if you remember that, if you can actually really remember it, you know, it really wasn't too good. And I guarantee it wouldn't have got better, it would have got worse as time went on as we walked away from God. But that verse there described the direction that we are heading now. We should be heading now. The transformation process. And thankfully, it's God himself who is at work. He's the manager of this process. And we play our part, of course. We have to do our part. We have to step up to the plate and do what we got to do. But we got to remember that our flesh cannot fix itself. The flesh does not care about making the flesh holy. You know that? So in the flesh, we're not going to get better. In the flesh, we put on a nice veneer. You know, we slap on some varnish, we look all nice and shiny. We look better, but inside there's no change when it's only the flesh doing the work. We need God inside of us by his Spirit. So God is involved in this process. And how's he doing that? In Ephesians 3:20 it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to, and here's the key part, his power that is at work in us. The power of God is working in you. This is according to God's word. So you see, this change process, it's not all on your shoulders. We think it is. You know, we constantly keep trying to pick it back up, and we get all embarrassed. We feel guilty. We get beaten down by the devil, by our own conscience, by our own guilt, and God is right there the whole time, always just reaffirming and trying to get us to continue to grow. And that's all we need to do is listen to him and grow and be transformed with ever-increasing glory. Even though it may be hard for us to see, or even imagine our life declaring the glory of God, it's God who's working it in us. So we have to start thinking of that's how it's happening. This is what's going on. And God can, He is able, and God will, because it's His word, He will do even more, it says, than we can imagine. So you think right now maybe it's not happening fast enough, or maybe you think you're doing pretty good, but I'll tell you what, it's not all there yet. God's work, He's got a work to do in us still, but He is going to take it from level to level to level to level. Remember, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And guess what? He's also the author and finisher of our life. He wants us to know that we can accomplish so much more and go so much further than we could ever imagine possible, because it's His power that's working in us. Because it's His power, we just don't know how far we can go. Sometimes we have to just go along for the ride. And let God take us. Let God move us. And then we have to remember then that all the glory belongs to Him. I can't boast about the fact that I'm a Christian. I can't boast in anything I've done because of the love of God. It's because of God's love in me that something is done. It's not me because I'm so holy and wonderful and my flesh is sparkling clean. It's God inside me. So He gets the glory. We shouldn't be content with a life, though, of mediocrity. We were not created for that. We were created for greatness. Not greatness in the eyes of this world, but greatness in the sense that God wants to use us for great things. He wants to accomplish great things in every one of us. He wants to use us to change this world, just like we sang about. In fact, that's one of the reasons that so many people are unhappy with their life, and you know, especially with themselves, because they've been called. We've all been called to reflect the glory of God in our life, in all that we do, and everything that we are. But too often, we're satisfied with doing way too much less. So much less. That so many people live below their potential, Christians and non-Christians. But as Christians, when we live below our potential, that means that God is not getting all the glory that He should have. That means that other people are not getting a picture of the glory of God that they could have. That means that we're not experiencing the joy, the love, the peace, the power in our life that we could have, because we've settled for less. And that's never been God's plan, to settle for less. Our goal should always be to follow God and, you know, to grab the gold ring. You know, to go, we should want to always, like, go to that next step, that next, you know, that next level, that next place in our life. We should never be satisfied with a life of mediocrity. That's just not, it was never meant to be that way. Do you want to accomplish God's best? That's what we should want. The more our life reflects God's glory, guess what? The more our life will be filled with God's joy. The more our life reflects God's glory, the more our life will be filled with God's joy. We bring joy to God when we are reflecting Him, when we're growing and we're changing, we're becoming more like Him. Think about it. Think about when you see your kids, would you rather have, you know, raise up your kids and seeing them turn into hellions, you know, like these crazy, wild, doing whatever they want, going out, doing all kinds of terrible things, or growing up and growing up the right way, the way that hopefully we're teaching them and training them to live for the Lord, to live and live right, be responsible, be good people. That's what we want. And when God sees His children growing up right, it brings Him joy. And then that joy comes back to us. so we get filled with His joy. People have all kinds of goals, and we make all kinds of, you know, promises, especially during this time of year. A lot of people, you know, January of every year, they make all these goals. I see it at the, I go to LA Fitness, and I see every January it gets jammed. And it lasts for about 2 to 4 weeks, and then it gradually starts fading away. And then by sometime, probably in February, it'll be back to where it was, maybe even lower. But my point today is that we shouldn't be satisfied with just any old goal. That's not our job, just to have goals just for the sake of goals. We need to reach for the goal that God designed us to reach. We need to become the person that God designed us to be. We need to ask ourselves, what can we bring to the table? What did God put in us that we can use, that we can develop, that we can share, that will bring praise, honor, and glory to our Lord God, to our Savior? What can we do? Each of us has our own unique way to reflect or declare the glory of God. We need to remember that our Creator does not make mistakes. God's the one who designed you, and He designed you for His glory. So there's glory in there. There's good stuff in you. You just got to figure it out, what it is. Get rid of some of the bad, bring in the good. Out with the old, in with the new. Because it's in there. Because if we don't think we have anything, what we're saying is that God made a mistake when He made me. And I guarantee you, not one of you is a mistake. I don't care what anything has ever been said about you. You are not a mistake. You are a special creation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He lovingly made you to reflect His glory. He wants you to shine like He does. It's so bright in heaven that there doesn't need to be any sun or any moon or any light, because all the light comes from Him. You remember when Moses met Him in the, you know, on the mountain, and later on at different times, He came down, He had to put a veil over His face. His face was so bright, it was blinding people. Because He was reflecting God's glory. God wants you to reflect that glory too. We need to begin to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to let Him show us who He made us to be. And that's going to happen in His Word, as we read His Word, and through His Spirit. You remember Gideon? I've talked about Gideon many times. I love the story of Gideon. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, Israel was being oppressed by the Midianites, and God needed a mighty warrior to save the day. So He had His eye on this young man. He was hiding out in a wine press, and he was hidden away down in there threshing the wheat because he didn't want anyone to see him. He didn't want to get beaten up. He didn't want to get the wheat stolen. He didn't want to get killed. So it says in Judges 6, verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders? Where is God's glory?" That's what he's saying. Where's the glory of God that I heard so much about? He did so many wonderful, amazing, impossible things, but I'm hiding in a wine press now so I don't get killed. Where's God's glory now? "So where are all His wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us. Oh, yeah. He has no idea what he's saying right now. But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? You know what he was saying? You're going to reveal my glory. You, Gideon, you're going to proclaim my glory to the world, to the nations, to the Midianites, to all Israel. They're going to see my power made real in you. And so you, your life, will proclaim my glory. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? How can I declare your glory? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. What do you think God thinks about that? He's, so what? So what if you're the weakest, the smallest, the whatever? God's saying, hey, look at me. I'm with you. The Lord answered, no, I will be with you. And you will strike down the Midianites together, all of them together. So Gideon obviously did not see himself as a mighty warrior. He couldn't picture himself in that way. God had to confront him directly. He had to give him courage. He had to give him confidence. So he had to send one of his messengers to spell it out for Gideon. So how many warriors, how many mighty warriors do you think God sees in here today? A lot. A lot. You may not think you're one of them, but guess what? You are. But there won't be a mighty warrior if we can't see ourselves that way. We have to get the vision. We have to get the understanding, just like Gideon had to get it. Otherwise, he would have stayed in that wine press till the day he died, probably. Hiding out from the enemy. Is that what God wants to do, to hide out from the enemy? You think? Anybody think that? That's our job, hiding out from the enemy? Or would he rather have us be somebody who sees himself as a warrior for God? More than a conqueror. So do you think it's possible that God could be sending you into a situation that needs a warrior? Well, only all the time. But what does he say about that? He says, don't worry. I will be with you. I will fight for you. I will be at your backside. I will be at your front side. I'll lead you. In 1 Samuel 16:13, a young shepherd boy was called by God, and he was anointed to be the king of Israel. I think you probably know who it is. Eddie's favorite, David. And even though it didn't happen for years, God wanted him to know that his life had a greater purpose than just being out there in the field watching sheep, doing just menial labor, doing, you know, not that there's anything wrong with watching sheep. If you're a sheep herder, I don't want to offend you, you know. But God wanted to see, he wanted to start instilling in him at that time, even as a young boy, that there is greatness inside of you. That's what we need to do with our kids. There's greatness inside of you. God's got so much in store for you. Joseph was another one. He had a vision that he would be a ruler. Moses was called to be the great deliverer. Over and over, we saw that God called ordinary people. These were all just normal people. People just like you or I. And he used ordinary people to fulfill his plan and to accomplish great things. And Because he wanted them to be able to reflect his glory, to share that glory with the world, so that others could know about the saving power of our Lord. Now God wants us to begin to see ourselves as that mighty warrior, a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. Because we are. Not because, you know, it's because of what God is doing. Remember, he's working inside of us with his power. Someone who can make the most of every opportunity. That's who God wants us to be. Someone who can grab hold of every opportunity and bring glory to God in whatever situation we find ourselves in. It may seem simple to you, because if you have that particular gifting in that situation, that's you were created for that. It's pretty easy for a pitcher of water to pour water. It's not so easy for a sock to pour water. The sock wasn't made, the water would just come right out the bottom. I wouldn't want to pour water into my glass with a shoe filled with water, stinky water. But you use a pitcher, and you know, it just works so easy. It's almost like it was made for it. It was. And we were made to be warriors for God. But not in everything, in the things that God calls us to do. Many of us might think, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I'm qualified. I'm not perfect. Not in no how and no way. Well, I doubt there's anybody here that's perfect, absolutely perfect in anything. Right? Maybe we're close. Maybe you've been hiding it out. But I hope that doesn't stop us from going forward in God and going after God's best for us. Because even if we're not perfect, then that means we have something to go after. We have to go after that perfection. Remember, it's not just a matter of what we know. You know, we can get all the knowledge in the world, and all the knowledge in the world isn't going to make us that image of God, that transformed person, that mighty warrior that, you know, that's out there serving God. It's not the knowledge, it's more like who we know or who do we follow. Remember Romans 8:14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." If our life is going to proclaim God's glory, then we have to be led by the Spirit of God. Our flesh can't proclaim God's glory in truth. We could say it. Somebody could say anything. I mean, any human could mouth any word just about. But without it being in that person, they're just mouthing empty words. Remember when Jesus said that those people that were around him and he says, you know, you did all this stuff proclaiming my name. And you thought you were close to me, but he said, I don't even know you. That's not who we want to be. If our life is going to proclaim God's glory, then we need to be led by the Spirit to do it right. John 16:13-14 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." And guess what it says that he will do? He will glorify me. See, the Holy Spirit will always bring glory to God. The Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever turn his back on God, do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing. He will never do that. He will never stab God in the back. It's just not who he is. He can't. They're one and the same. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit will bring glory to God in all that he does, and the Holy Spirit is who is in us. The Holy Spirit is the one who fills us. He lives in us. He empowers us. He guides us. He teaches us. He comforts us. He convicts us of sin. He sanctifies us. He gives us gifts. He reminds us of God's word and leads us into all truth. He's the one who makes it possible for us to bring glory to God. The Holy Spirit. It is He who will help us live the kind of life that will proclaim God's glory all the time in all that we do. We just have to live our life. If we're truly one with the Spirit and we're truly trying to live for God, then everything that we do, I mean, maybe not the most mundane things, you know, brushing your teeth. I mean, well, I guess you could even say that could bring glory to God, because you're brushing your teeth, you're making yourself presentable so you can speak to people, and, you know, I mean, you could probably find some way to bring it around where everything we do, as somebody who truly loves and honors God, everything we do will in some way continue the process of that transformation. He's the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who is transforming us into the image of Christ with ever-increasing glory. He's the one that we read about earlier. That's His job. That's what He's doing. Matthew 10, 18 through 20 says this: "On My account you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them, to the Gentiles." Now, we're not necessarily going to be brought before a king or a governor, but this could apply to all kinds of situations where we find ourselves talking to people and we feel a little nervous. Right? Has that ever happened to you? You know, you're in a position, it could be your boss, it could be somebody who's a stranger, it could be someone you never met before, it could be in your own home, but you still feel maybe like a little nervous, like, you know, and so we're before this person that maybe we don't think we necessarily have the right word for them, but we want to honor God. So, "On My account, you'll be brought." Now, He's not saying yet anything other than just it's going to happen. "On My account, you will be brought before people." People that will be important in your life. Or people just maybe that, just people. You're going to be brought before people. And so God wants us to know that He doesn't want us to be nervous. He says, "But when they arrest you," now, probably we're not going to get arrested because we have to go talk to somebody. At least so far, not yet in this country anyway. I hope never. I pray never. But so then He says, now here's the key part. "Do not worry about what to say or how to say it." Why? Why shouldn't you worry about what to say or how to say it? "At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." So God's saying, don't worry about being that mighty warrior that has to go out and find where you're going to find yourself in some situation, and you're thinking that, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't know what am I going to say? Like, just like Moses, what am I going to say? I can't talk. What am I going to do? And God's saying, don't forget who's working inside of you. Don't forget My power that's in you. My Holy Spirit is inside of you, and you don't even have to worry about what to say. He'll put the words right in your mouth. You just open that mouth, and they'll come out. Believe it or not, God has everything under control. He really does. It's not our strong will and our determination that's going to make us holy and glorified and bring glory to God. It's not by might, it's not by power, but what do you say? It's by some what? By what? "My Spirit," says the Lord Almighty. If we want to live a life that declares the glory of God, we need to remember that we can do that because that's why we were created. Remember that? We talked about that too. We were created to bring God glory. And so living a life that brings glory to God is what will fulfill us. It's what we were made for. Sometimes we need to stop, look, and listen. Remember that? Wasn't that back when we were little kids? Stop, look, and listen. For cars, I think it was, right? Well, we need to stop, look, and listen for the Holy Spirit. Instead of a car approaching, it's God's power, God's Spirit. And He wants to take us for a ride. He wants us that, it's now He's the car, and He's going to let us in and take us for a ride. He's going to tell us what to say, what to do. He's going to bring us where we need to go. He's going to bring people there to meet us, the people we need to meet. He's going to make all these things possible. And what's our job? Our job is just to do it. To be led by the Spirit, open our mouth when He asks us, when He tells us, just to do what we're supposed to do. So let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we can live a life that will bring praise, honor, and glory to You. Lord, we thank You that You're in charge, that You're in control of everything. We thank You that Your power is at work in us. We thank You that we are not here on our own. Thank You for rescuing us and taking us out of an empty, hopeless life, bringing us into Your family and allowing us to be part of the answer, part of the solution, part of the kingdom building. Lord God, help us to be amazing kingdom builders, mighty warriors who build Your kingdom. We thank You, God. Thank You for everything. Lord, we do declare Your glory. We proclaim Your glory here this morning, right now. You are an awesome God. And we thank You, Lord, that You've got it all figured out and You have made a way for us. You've got it all set, Lord God. We just have to follow and be led by Your Spirit. Lord, help us to be faithful followers of Your Holy Spirit. Help us to step in the gap. Lord God, help us to step up to the plate. To do what we're supposed to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week.